Hello, I'm Bert Green, this is the Bert Locker, and this is a show mostly about whatever I feel like talking about. The sports that I usually follow, the NFL, they're out of season, NASCAR from time to time, mostly mixed martial arts because I watch a lot of that. I have a bit of fun, TV shows, things like that. That's basically what I look at. This one in particular is going to be looking at UFC 290, what happened, the fallout of that, some other big news in mixed martial arts and boxing. There's been a big announcement just today. And also, I like to take a look at least one funny meme that I've seen. This one was sent to me earlier on today by a friend of mine, Mr. Josh Watkins. It's a good one, to be fair. Anyway, let's crack on with the recap of UFC 290, I guess. So first of all, the first thing to unpack was it was an emotional roller coaster for me. Because if you follow my betting show, I do some terrible bets. I like to do this thing called an MMA scratch card. So let's break that down as how this happened. Obviously, the way I watch the fights, I watch them in the morning. I watch them with a couple of mates. We have some breakfast, have some coffee, watch the fights. Because obviously I'm in the UK, so it's not as easy as it once was to stay up until 5 in the morning to watch the main event. It's just something that I don't like to do these days. So I watched it in the morning. Didn't catch the fight past prelims. I knew the result, one result had come in. I hadn't seen the other one. And then I'm watching the prelims and the entire main card. I'm just watching. Result after result coming in. Then Gomes comes up, the Gomes fight. I'm like, she was 4-1 against. I can't believe I added her to my accumulator. What an idiot. Why would I do that? This is where it comes unstuck. No. Gomes wins. 20 seconds. Knockout. All right. Accumulator keeps rolling. And obviously my mates, they know what I've bet on as well, so they're in on it. There's, you know, next few come in. Dan Hooker against Jalen Turner. What did I pick that for? What an idiot. Dan Hooker puts on the performance of his life. Gets one in the win column. I'm like, okay, I mean, the accumulator is worth $6,000, I might add. $6,500. I put £1 on it, but it's $6,500 to $1. It gets to Dudikus Duplessis against Robert Whittaker. And obviously I picked Dudikus. Hell of a performance. Boom. Done. Normally my accumulators do not last this long. Pantoja, fantastic performance. I picked him as well as the slight underdog. And then all I've got left in my mind is Volkanovski, the heavy favourite, to beat Yair Rodriguez. And he does it in spectacular fashion. Now, in the back of my mind, I did know that there was one result that I was unaware of, which was the first fight of the card, the very first one. I knew that I didn't know the result. So I was very far away from counting my money at this point. And I went back and checked it out. Oh, I'd bet on Kirk. He lost a relatively close decision, 29-28. Outside of that, all green. 13 fight accumulator, 12 out of 13. $6,000. Now, to be fair, I was still up like 40 quid. I've never been sadder to be up like on my bets. Because, I mean, yeah, 40 quid ain't $6,000, is it? But Jesus Christ. I mean, I don't think I'll ever get closer than that on an accumulator like that ever again. It was a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun with it, to be fair. Because I did think, and I did know in the back of my mind, I was like, because obviously I can't check the results for just the fight pass prelims because that's going to ruin the results for the whole card. So I watched the whole card first and then, yeah. Obviously, the first fight of the card was the one that let it down. Kirk losing a close decision to Rybovich. Gutted. But it was an absolutely fantastic card. Highlights for me. Dan Hooker. What a performance. What an absolute savage that man is. He broke his orbital. He broke his arm. And he still managed to get a win over Jalen Turner, who's one of the toughest fighters in that division. Because look, Jalen Turner, I backed Dan Hooker because I thought Jalen Turner had a horrible weight cut. Horrible. And I think Jalen probably needs to go up a weight class at this point. I did have one bet for Hooker by knockout. I feel like he could have put Turner away in that, I think it was either the second or the third round, where he had him like knocked down. And I feel like he could have gotten him out of there. But you never know, do you? You just don't know these things. Either way, fantastic work by Dan Hooker. Congratulations to him. Other standout performances? I mean, you've got to look at Moreno against Pantoja was fantastic. What an absolutely brilliant fight as well. It was so edgy a seat stuff. Pantoja just... It was the takedowns that were the difference. He just... I didn't think that Pantoja was going to get to the end of that fight. I really didn't. He was huffing and puffing at the end of round one. He had a fantastic round one, don't get me wrong. But he was huffing and puffing. For me, performance of the night has to go to Dricus du Plessis, because it wasn't just like... I picked Dricus. I said, look, smart money says that Robert Whittaker, he's probably the best fighter at middleweight, like all round. He's one of the best all-round fighters at middleweight, not named Israel Adesanya. Israel Adesanya is better stand-up, but overall as a fighter, I think a lot of people would agree that Robert Whittaker going into that fight was probably the more dangerous test, honestly. And for some reason, I just thought Dricus was going to get it done. And it's because of his physicality. His physicality is a real problem for people. Fantastic performance. Getting a TKO knockout over Robert Whittaker, that's insane. Let's talk about what happened after the fight. Israel Adesanya comes in after the fight. And honestly, I thought he came off looking like an absolute clown. He really did. He comes in just saying the N-word over and over again. Just like saying it at Dricus. Because they've had like a falling out over who's the most African. And also, I would add, that I don't think... Like, Dricus, obviously, right? He was trying to poke the bear. But he wasn't the one that made it about race. Like, people are saying, well, Dricus started... No, he didn't. When you look at what he said was, look, I feel like I'm the most kind of... in my mind, I think that I'm the most legitimate African because, you know, I'm born there, I train there, and I still live there. I want to take the belt back home to Africa. He didn't say that Israel Adesanya wasn't African. He never said that. People are saying, well, he said that Israel wasn't... No, that's not what he said. He said that he still lives in Africa himself. And he... That's not a lie. He does do that. Check his postcode. He does live there. Do you know what I mean? Where's the lie? No, he was born there. He does train there. And he's a proud, proud South African. And he just wants to represent his country. And yeah, okay. Was he saying that to perhaps bait Israel Adesanya into a reaction such as this? But it worked. It worked a treat. And Israel Adesanya should be... He's the champion. He should be better than like coming in and just saying... It was just a weird look, him just saying the N-word over and over and over again. Look, for me, that word is either offensive or it isn't, right? If that word is offensive, if that word is so horrible, then don't say it. Because if you're in a situation where it's like, well, okay, but he can say it because it's his word, but it's like, well, the problem is, if you're saying that word is only offensive based on the skin colour of the person saying it, that is, dare I say it, racist? I'm just saying, you know? And also, like, it was just such a weird look. And it was Dricus' moment. And he kept on grabbing the microphone and just shouting the N-word down the microphone. It's like, number one, like, that, it just looks bad, dude. Just stop it. Either have something to say or just step away. Do you know what I mean? It was Dricus' moment. And I felt like Israel Adesanya was just desperately trying to claw any of the limelight back onto himself. That's what it looked like. It looked like desperation to me. And it looked like he was rattled, honestly. He looked rattled. Now, I don't know why he should be rattled. Look, I think that Israel Adesanya actually matches up fairly well against Dricus du Plessis. But I do think that Dricus du Plessis presents a lot of problems as well. He's very big. He's very physical. He's a physical, strong lump. And if he gets hold of Adesanya, we've seen what Dricus' ground and pound can do to people. You know, if he gets hold of him, puts him on his back and gets that ground and pound in, Israel's not going to knock you out of his back. He's probably not throwing up too many triangles either. Like, I'm sure he's capable of it, but it's just not something that we see from him. So I think that actually is, I think Dreyfus Duplessis, I think for me, I hope that Dreyfus Duplessis flattens him, because I've got a clear favourite in that fight now, because I liked Dreyfus as a character, as a fighter anyway. And now Israel has come out and acted so poorly, I'm just so much more inclined to throw my support on Dreyfus Duplessis. Don't get me wrong, I'm a huge Israel. I've got to say, I did lose a lot of respect for Israel Adesanya after his antics. I just felt like he's trying to alienate himself, and it worked. If anyone advised him to do that, it's very poor advice. If he said to somebody, "This is what I'm going to do," and they said anything other than, "You're out of your mind, don't do that," then they're not really his friend, they're a yes man. And I think he's got too many of those around him at this point. We saw what happened to Conor. He was surrounded by nothing but yes men. And he's really fallen off a cliff. And we're going to see the same thing with Adesanya at this point. Who knows? But then you've got... I'll move on from that incident. I'd like to celebrate Dreyfus Duplessis. He was fantastic. Let's just kind of ignore what Adesanya did. That was... not a great look. Not a great look. But congratulations, Duplessis. What a fantastic performance. Speaking of fantastic performances, my God, how good is Volkanovski? I mean, I've been saying it for years that Volkanovski is, like, by far and away my favourite fighter. He really is. He's humble. He's respectful. He's a good interview. He's fun. He's funny. He's the best fighter out there. Pound for pound, he is the best. Like, there is nobody skill set wise that touches him. He's so good in every area. He takes what his opponents do well and he just nullifies it. And he's so ridiculously talented. And he just seems like a nice bloke as well. He seems like a guy that you could sit and have a beer with, which I'm a big fan of. His footwork is outstanding. The fact that Yair had his best round, was looking really dangerous. And that's when Volkanovski decides to finish him. Decides to just, right, I'm putting a stop to this. Boom, 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 boom. Dunsky. Fantastic stuff. Who the hell beats Volkanovski at featherweight? Look, I get it. You've got Topuria coming up. He says that he's very confident that he can beat Volkanovski very easily. You've got to say that. You've got to believe that. Do I believe that? I don't know. I mean, look, I look forward to seeing it, but I want to see the Islam fight again. I think that Volkanovski causes problems for everybody, including Islam Makhachev. So that's UFC 290 in a nutshell. If I could ask you, please subscribe. That'd be fantastic because it helps me out a lot. Doesn't really cost you anything. Just hit subscribe. Comment as well, please. Let me know what you thought about Israel Adesanya's antics. Am I out of my mind thinking that it looked childish and clown-esque? Yeah, anyway. Moving on, we've got a big boxing match announcement. Big boxing slash MMA. Finally, they've announced it. Tyson Fury against Francis Ngannou. It's going to be 10 rounds, Queensbury rules. It's going to have knockouts, everything. Look, will I watch it? Yeah. Am I happy for Ngannou? Yeah. Will I admit I was sceptical? I was sceptical. I thought he'd made a poor decision. And I hope that he makes all the money in the world. But how much money he'll actually make remains to be seen, because we've seen how Fury is often contentious on the splits, even with high-name boxers. And Ngannou's not a high-name boxer. Is it going to garner the attention of Floyd versus Conor? Probably not. But is it going to make them both plenty of money? Yes. Congratulations to them both. And, you know, the Saudis, they do like to throw money at these kind of things. So I think there'll be plenty of it to go around. Is it going to be anything more than a one-sided fustigation? Fury just absolutely fustigating Ngannou? Yes, that's probably what we're going to get. Because, to be fair, look, Ngannou's got ridiculous power. But even for MMA, Ngannou's boxing, I don't think it's really considered good. I don't think you can consider him a really good, well-skilled MMA boxer. He's not that guy. He's got a lot of power. Don't get hit by him. Don't get hit by him. God damn, don't get hit by him. But outside of that, it's not like, oh, he's just dripping in boxing skill, is he? It's just not, he's not that guy. Whereas Fury is probably the most skilled heavyweight boxer on the planet right now, if not all time. So that's the disparity in skill that you're going to be seeing on October 28th when that fight takes place. But congratulations to Fury. the gamble appears to have paid off. And you know what? I'll eat my words. I didn't think that the fight would ever happen. It hasn't happened yet. They haven't made the walk yet. But it looks like it is actually signed and sealed. So congratulations. And you know what? I'll eat my words. Apologies. I look forward to seeing the highlights of it, because I'm not going to pay for it, because I think it's going to be very, very one-sided. Anyway, last thing I'm going to look at this week, it goes back to the Israel Adesanya thing. This really did make me laugh. So thank you, Josh, for sending it to me, because it was very, very funny. Yeah, you just got this. It's the best one on the internet right now. You've got Israel Adesanya's mate sitting there just like, hey, look, just go up there and call him the N-word like loads of times, because he can't say it back. It's like, that's what it felt like. It felt like that's what he was doing. So damn childish. So weird. A weird childish moment where he's just trying to scrabble and grab any of the limelight to put onto himself, because he just couldn't handle that Dricus was having his moment. And yeah, I don't think they should have even called him in there. I think that actually part of the blame is on the UFC for that. Because look, Adesanya's sitting there, he's had a few drinks. He's obviously having these arguments in his head that aren't really there. He's had a couple of drinks and he made himself look like an absolute fool. And that was because the UFC were like, yeah, bring him in. We'll have this moment. No, that didn't work for me. On this occasion, it was a big swing and a miss. But hey, you can't hit them all, can you? You can't win them. You can't win everything. Where would you put it all? You know what I mean? It's a little reference to the late, great Lemmy Kilmister there, because he used to say that. And that's as nice a place as any to leave this video. So if I could just ask you one more time, if you wouldn't mind subscribing, it would really help me out a lot. And hey, look, it turns out my bets aren't always that terrible. I was one away. One day it's going to come in, baby. One day it's coming in. But yeah, until next time, keep all those odds long and those bets terrible. I have my usual videos previewing this week's fights later on this week. So thank you for watching.